For those of you that don't know, at the moment we're going through a sermon series and it's called Tools of the Trade. Last week Kate shared on prophecy, and the week before Joel shared on pioneering, and Jeremy shared on administration and leadership, and it's been incredible. It's been really good. We're looking at the spiritual gifts, just what they can do for us and how they empower us to pursue heaven on earth. And this week I have the privilege of talking about the intercession gifts. The gifts in that are faith, miracles, and healing. It's such a privilege for me to be speaking on this morning. Having come back, this is the one thing that I wanted to share on, if I got an opportunity to share, was going to be this subject. And it just so happens that the way that it worked out perfectly with the timing. And yeah, everything's in God's timing, and I get the opportunity to share. So I'm super honored to be here and have the opportunity to share. Kind of just want to fill you guys in on what happened in the last year. For some of you, you haven't seen me for a while, and we've had an incredible year. Second year was incredible. Learned so much, so blown away by the goodness of God and just the things that he did in my heart this year. As you know, first year for me was a really rocky year, and I came in believing a lot of things that weren't actually true and completely got reshaped and remolded by the Father. And second year I felt was a year where it was just built on top of that, and I've never experienced such a realness of his presence in my life. You know, later on today, I'm going to be sharing a little bit about Moses when he was up on the mountain, and the Lord, Moses asked God, like, God, would you show me your glory? Like, will you pass before me? And the Lord says, yes, I will. I'll show you my back. And the Lord walked before him. And I felt like this year for me was a year where time and time again, the Lord just showed up and showed up and showed up. And I've never encountered such a level of his presence in my life. And it completely rocked me. It's the very core of who I am. He's so real. And he so wants to be involved in our lives. And that's a truth that just settled so deeply in my heart this year. That he is so invested in us, his children. He so wants to be with us. He so wants to know our hearts. He so wants to live with us. It's truly a mind-blowing thing when you just think about that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God that created this universe, the heavens and the earth, the seas, the sand, the animals, the birds in the sky, and he wants to be in relationship with us. Oh, it just wrecks me, eh? It really does. And I think that's what it is. That's the key. I mean, I really wrestled this week as I prepared for this morning, because there's so much that you can talk about in faith. Like, we can talk about how in the Gospels, when Jesus meets a centurion, and the centurion comes to him and he says, like, one of my servants is sick, and all I know that, like, if you just speak the words that he will be healed. And Jesus says, like, I've not seen such a great faith in all the land of Jerusalem. And when we think about miracles, we can look at like the Gospels and see how many miraculous things happened while Jesus was walking on the earth. Whether it was the healing of blind eyes, whether it was the raising of the dead, whether it was the opening of deaf ears or the cleansing of the lepers. And when it comes to healing, whether it was the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, there are so many things that we can look at in this subject and in these things. And I really wrestled this week of like, God, what do you want to say? What do you want to say this morning? Because I could very easily come in and talk about the practicals of like, you know, this is the experience that I've had, and this is how I pray for people, and this is how like what I've learned about this subject, or these are the stories that I've heard, and these are the stories that I've seen. But what I really felt like God wanted to do this morning was to cleanse our minds and cleanse our hearts of the expectations that we may have put on him. You see, for myself, there are things and experiences that I've had in life that have shaped how I see God. And this last year, I've had some of those things shattered into complete pieces to find a God that is completely different to the one that I thought he was. And I really feel this morning there's an opportunity for us to maybe have some beliefs or some expectations about God completely shattered. Because with the area of healing and miracles, there's often a lot of tension about this. Because some people believe that healing and miracles stopped when Jesus left the earth and when the apostles finally passed away. Some people believe that it is God's will for people to be sick and it's their cross to bear. And some people believe that Jesus paid for it all and that healing is for now, but then it doesn't always happen. And I myself know what that feels like. You see, for me, I was a very uncoordinated child. Very uncoordinated. I was 6'1" when I was about 11 years old, and I was growing faster than my body could keep up. And I had a lot of injuries. I've broken more bones than I can count on my 10 fingers and 10 toes. And I still live with some of those issues today. One of them being my ankle. I need full ankle reconstruction. I have a bone spur that's been created because of a tearing of the ligaments on the outside of my ankle. I'm in pain a lot of the time, and my ankle is not stable, and I need surgery. And you see, I have prayed for my ankle more than I can remember. Whenever I hear a testimony of someone's ankle getting healed, I'm like, man, I claim that testimony for myself, because it says in Revelation that the testimony is the spirit of prophecy. And I'm like, I want my ankle healed, God. I want my ankle healed. And it's still not healed. I've even prayed for people that have had bone spurs in their ankle. I've prayed for people that have had ligaments torn, and I've seen it be healed instantly on the spot. And yet I battle the tension of like, why isn't my ankle healed? Why isn't my ankle healed? And I think that's where we often find ourselves, in that space in between of like, here's the current situation and it's not lining up with what God says, because God says that healing is for now. God says that healing is possible. If you look at the Bible and the way that Jesus modeled it, every person he prayed for 100% of the time was healed, 100%. Yet my ankle is all the way back here. And I find myself stuck here in the space in between, going, my current reality is this, but this is the truth that I know. And this morning, I want to talk about the truth that I know. And this morning, I want to impart, and I believe the Lord wants to impart to us, the truth of what he says it is. If you want to open your Bibles, let's turn to John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Excuse me, I'm pretty sick. That's even another thing. Heck, I've been sick this whole week. I've got this bad flu. I could barely speak yesterday. I've been sneezing, coughing, everything like that. And I'm like, man, like God, like I'm speaking on healing and yet I'm standing up here preaching sick. There's just like, there's so much about this subject and there's so much about this that I'm just like, God, if we only knew your ways. Anyways, let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 12. So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, specifically Thomas. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It says it plainly here. This is Jesus speaking to us. He is telling us that we will do greater works than he did. So then why isn't my ankle healed? Why isn't it that when we pray for people, they're always healed? I mean, if you look at Jesus, everyone that he prayed for was healed. There was not one single person or one single account in the Gospels where a person wasn't healed when they came in contact with Jesus. And that's the truth. And Jesus says, you will do even greater than what I did on this earth. Even greater. That's what he calls us to. That's what's there for us, even greater than what Jesus did. And you know, and we're starting to see that more and more in this church, like Beck's arm getting healed. That's so incredible. And that comes from the testimony the week before of Rachel's arm getting healed in youth. And I believe like there is something that is happening. There is a momentum that's being picked up in this area. And we're jumping on the bandwagon of like, this is what the reality of it is, that we will do even greater than Christ did on this earth. That's his promise. That's the truth. And I don't know what your experiences have been with healing. I know what mine have been. They haven't always been 100% healing. They haven't always been that I've experienced healing in myself or in people that I've prayed for. I mean, last year when I was in Haiti, on my missions trip, as I shared last year when I was here in Catalyst, we saw an incredible outpouring of the power of God. Incredible outpouring. In about 12 days, we had about 800, roughly 800 miracles of seeing people completely healed. 800. And I walked away from Haiti, not remembering every single person that I'd prayed for because there had been so many that I'd seen healed. But I walked away from Haiti remembering four people out of, I don't know, maybe the 50 or 60 that I personally prayed for, four of them that didn't get healed. And I walked away thinking, man, like God, why didn't they get healed? I remember this one girl. There was this one girl, we were on the beach and we were having like some time off in the afternoon and soaking up that lovely Caribbean sun. It was glorious. But we decided to just hold like a little meeting. We had a megaphone and a translator and we were like, we're just going to preach the gospel and we're going to go for it. Because there was a lot of people there drinking and partying and we were like, you know what? This is a perfect situation for God to show up. So anyways, someone from our team preaches the gospel, does a really awesome job. Like we get a couple of people to respond and we're like, you know, is there anyone here that needs physical healing? Like, is there anyone that has an illness or a sickness that wants to receive healing? And we just start going for it. Like just people come forward and we start praying. People start getting healed. There's this one girl that I see. She's a waiter and she's working in the bar. She's limping. And I'm like, I can't really see her feet, but I see her limping. And I'm like, oh, she needs healing. Like, so I go up to her with a translator. And when I get up to her, I see that it's not that just she's limping, but she has like a club foot. And so on her right leg, her left leg was fine, but on her right leg, her foot wasn't underneath her ankle bone, but it was like on the side and twisted up like that. And so here she is walking on like the stump on the bottom of her foot. And I'm like, oh God, this is going to be awesome. She's going to get healed. I had such a faith inside of me in that moment that I would believe that she was going to get healed 100%. There was not one doubt in my mind that Jesus wasn't going to come, show up and touch her and she wasn't going to hurt. I believed her foot was going to straighten up. I was so expecting to see it. I got my phone out because I was like, heck, I'm videoing this because God's going to move like right now. And I was so sure of it. So sure of it because I'd seen so many crazy miracles in the last period of two weeks. And so I go up to her and I pray for her and nothing happens. I'm like, okay, that's all right. I'm going to pray again. So I pray again. Pray fervently. I throw up my best prayer. Like I'm like saying everything in Jesus' name. Like I command your foot to straighten up. Like everything that I can think of. Like every bit of knowledge that I can think of. And nothing happens. And I'm like, starting to lose a little bit of heart. I'm like, I'm praying again. I'm not saying no for an answer. Her foot is straining. So I pray again. Nothing happens. My team comes over. We pray. The whole team. I mean, it says in the Bible where two or more are gathered, like Jesus is there. And her foot still doesn't straighten out. And I walked away from this because it couldn't have gone any worse, honestly. Because she was starting to get embarrassed because her foot wasn't getting healed. One thing about Haiti is that like people that have like deformities or people that are ill, they're like shamed and shunned and the lowest in society. And so by us singling out this girl and paying all this attention to her and then her foot not straightening was I reckon a really high shaming moment for her. And so she walked away and a couple of the other girls on our team went with a translator and went and talked with her. But everyone around was like looking and laughing because like we were preaching that Jesus was going to heal and then they didn't see her ankle heal. I walked away. I walked down to the ocean and I grabbed some rocks and I threw them into the water. I was like, God, why? 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 And I was so annoyed and so like caught up because I believed that she was going to get healed and she didn't get healed. And then, you know, in the midst of my anger, God with just like that still small voice. Like the one way you don't want to hear God in that moment because you're so angry and you want him to come all like half puff and loud and like loud to you. And he's just like, Nathan, it's okay. Nathan, it's okay. Nathan, it's okay. And I remember walking away from that moment thinking, I will not settle till the day that I see conditions like that reversed. And so in me in the last year, I've experienced a fire and a desire in my heart to see like heaven on earth when it comes to signs and wonders and miracles, so hungry and so great. Because I think back to Haiti and I think, man, 800 people healed, but there were these four people that I remember praying for that like they didn't experience that. And 800 is incredible, but like I don't want to stop until I see everyone healed. And I believe that's something that we are called to, as it says right here, that we will do even greater works. We will do even greater works than what Jesus did. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to start in verse 4. You see, I fully believe that there will be a day where us as a body of Christ will walk out in such a level of power and intimacy with the Holy Spirit that like everyone that we come in contact with will be healed. You know, in Acts, there's a really awesome progression that I love reading about because it first started out with Peter and John walking around and they would pray for people and they would lay hands on people and they would get healed. And then you read a couple of chapters later, I think it's in chapter 4, and it would say that the people would bring the sick and the lame and lay them out on the street. And Peter and John would walk past and Peter's shadow would heal the people that were laying on the street. And I read that and I think, what the heck? What the heck? I'm like, Peter's walking down the street, not praying for people, not intentionally stopping for the sick and the lame people on the side, but every person he walks past, his shadow is touching them and the power of God is touching the people through his shadow. That blows my mind. And that's where we want to go. That's what we're called to. Like, I can't wait to the day where I walk down the street and I see the power of God touch people through my shadow. That, like, come on. That gets me so fired up to think, that is where we can be. That is where we can be. That is what we're called to. That is what Jesus promised to us. It says here in verse 4, I'm going to read through verse 4 through 11. There are diversities of gifts, but they are of the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through that very same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing by that same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the discerning of the Spirit, and to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of many tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. You see, I believe that each one of these gifts that are listed here, specifically the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gift of healing, is available to us all the time. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to give us these gifts. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to empower us to bring his glory on earth through these gifts. You see, I woke up this morning and I was just finishing off my preparations. And I began to look into the Greek through the specific things that I was looking at, faith, miracles, and healing. I just began to look at the Greek words around it and bring it back to the original text. Because I think there's a lot that can be lost throughout English translation Bibles. And the Greek word for the word faith in verse 9, it is pistis. It's actually got a double meaning here because the word pistis, one part of it means that like we have faith in God and it's our conviction or it's our belief in our relationship with him. And then there's also another meaning where it says like it is a belief for the divine from heaven to earth to happen. And I think that's something that I want to just highlight to you guys this morning is that I believe that the gift of faith is different to having faith in God. You see, I believe there's such a thing as faith in God and faith of God. Because I believe we all here have faith in God. Am I correct? Like everyone here has given their life to Jesus and asked him to become their Lord and Savior. And I believe that is faith in God. And I believe we see healings because of the level of faith that we have in God. And I believe the faith that we have in God is able to grow and develop in, as our time as we become more and more like him and spend more and more time with him. But then I also believe and have seen here through studying this that there is such a thing as a faith of God. And this faith of God is the gift that is being talked about right here. And it is a gift. This is crazy, but I was looking up the root word of the word pistis and looking for the meaning of like the second thing I said where belief or faith, a gift of faith for divine interaction. And the root word is pietho or patho, I think. I don't really know how to spell it or say it, but it's that. And the word actually translates to be given favor or to win one's favor. And you see, I think the gift of faith that we read about right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the gift of faith is something that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that it empowers us to see the power of God come in situations. And now I don't know if that gift of faith once given is a gift that stays there, but all I know is that Jesus walked in it 100% of the time. And I don't know how to attain that gift. I have experienced it at times in my life, but at the same time, I've not experienced it in situations. But that's a gift that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us. And it's a gift that I believe we need to receive as a body of Christ. I also looked up some more of the Greek in regards to the rest of that. I found that when we're talking about the Spirit here, we're talking about like the Spirit of God. It came to my mind this morning, a verse in John 16. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read it for you guys. Because I think I've often had a misconception about the gifts. I've often had a misunderstanding about them. You know, I used to think that the gifts were there to be given to us, but there were things that we had to do, or there was like a certain checklist that we had to do before we were able to receive them. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I think it comes down to our heart posture and our closeness with the Lord. And here in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come." I looked into that verse, and that last line where it says, "he will tell you the things to come," it also can be translated to, he will give you the gifts that you need when you need them. And I mean, then I go back to 1 Corinthians 12 here, and I read about how the Holy Spirit wants to give us the gift of healing and the gift of miracles, and I'm like, man, like, that's ours to receive. That's ours to receive. I was just praying. I was like, God, you know, what stories do you want me to share when I've experienced, like, you know, the gift of miracles or the gift of faith in the room, and when I've experienced that? And it brought to my mind this one time last year. I was in the healing rooms. It was early on a Saturday morning. It was about 8:30 a.m. Some people were starting to come in, and we were beginning to pray for them. There was this one lady that came in. She was from Southern California. I cannot remember her name, but she was a lovely lady. She came in and she had a long list of issues. One of them was she was previously an opera singer, had a throat operation that completely wrecked her voice box and wasn't able to sing. One of them was she had really bad back pain, level 7 out of 10, and it was just like this niggling thing that wouldn't go away. Another thing was that she had multiple sclerosis, and she had been numb down the left side of her body in different parts for a different amount of years. And then lastly, the other thing was that she was also a dancer, and she had fractured her ankle really, really badly. And they'd put a metal plate in her ankle with 12 screws all the way up and around. And those screws were like protruding out of the skin, and she wasn't able to like move her ankle around. We were like, awesome. Like, great. I'd never seen metal dissolve. I've never prayed for anyone with like a serious disease like that. I'd had prayed for people with back pain and seen them be healed. I was like, let's start with the back, you know, because I have faith that God heals backs. That's my level of faith. That's my level of expectancy. I know that to be true. So let's go after the back. So we pray for her back. Pain goes from 7 to 2. I'm like, awesome. Come on. God is moving. We're like listening to the Holy Spirit. We're like, okay, Holy Spirit, just come right now. Come with your power. And the pain goes from 2 to 0. And we're like, yes, like, come on. God's moving. And we're like, that's our in. Like, God is here. God is moving. We're going to go for it. So we pray for her throat. You know, we start praying for her throat. Nothing really happens. And we're like, okay, God, like, Lord, how do you want us to minister to her right now? And I think that's another misconception that we can have about healing so often, is that we have to pray. Like, it has to be like, in Jesus' name, be healed, you know. But if we look at the Gospels and we read through the Gospels, I mean, Jesus would tell people to like go jump. He would tell the lepers, go jump in the water, clean yourself, you'll come out, you'll be healed. He spits in the mud, rubs some mud together, wipes it on a guy's eyes, cleans the mud off, the guy's healed. There's this lame man that they drop through the roof, and he's sitting there on the floor, unable to walk, and Jesus doesn't even pray for him. He says, get up, your sins have been forgiven, and the man's healed. So like, one thing that I'm so passionate about, and one thing I believe, is that like, we've got to think outside the box with God. I've seen so many people healed through the release of a testimony over someone. It doesn't always have to be prayer. So we had prayed, and honestly, like, I'd prayed for her, and I didn't even ask the Holy Spirit how he wanted to minister to her in that moment. I felt this like still small voice, like this little correction of God, and God was like, Nathan, like, you didn't even ask me how I wanted to heal her. And I was like, oh, sorry, God. sorry, God, I need to get religion and I need to get patterns and methods out of my mind and just focus on what you want to do. I said, God, like, how do you want to heal her? And he's like, Nathan, just say this. Tell her that, like, I'm going to give her a cough lolly from heaven and it's going to heal her throat. And I was like, are you serious? Like, you want me to say that? After a minute or two, a couple of others in my team were still praying for her. I was like, this is going to sound really weird, but I want you to close your eyes and just imagine, like, this sweetest, like, butter menthol you've ever had in your life. And just imagine it's running down your throat. And once you swallow it, you're going to be healed. And wouldn't you know it? She opens her mouth and she's like, all the pain's gone. All the pain's gone. She starts singing. First time she's sung in over 10 years. Completely healed. And I sat there just jaw on the floor, gobsmacked, because she got healed by me telling her to have a cough lolly from heaven. Like, how crazy is that? How crazy is that? At this point, my faith levels are like, whoop, like up here. I'm like, heck, I could see a dead person. Like, I'm like, where's Lazarus? Like, bring me someone that's dead. Let's pray for them. They're going to raise from the dead. And I believe in that moment that it went from me having a faith in God to me experiencing the gift of faith fall in the room. And so I was like, heck, we're going after your ankle. I fully believe that this metal is going to be dissolved. I had never seen that personally in my life, but you hear testimonies of metal dissolving. So I get down, I put my hand on her foot, we take her sock off, and you can legitimately see the screws on either side. Like, they're not outside of the skin, but they're poking out, and she has like the lumps, and there's 12 of them. I put my hand on her. My teammate puts her hand on her, and I'm like, God, I just ask that your power would come right now and dissolve this metal. I didn't know what else to say. I mean, I'd never prayed for it before. So I was like, God, just do what only you can do. Pull my hand away. Look at her ankle. There's not one screw there. I started crying because I was like, oh my gosh, like, look at your ankle. She looks down at it and she's like, wait, where are the screws? She stands up, starts moving her ankle all the way around. Never had, like, since the operation, had not been able to move her ankle anyway. And she was able to move her ankle completely and the metal had dissolved in her ankle. And I was like, what the heck, God? What the heck? How crazy is that? That, like, metal would dissolve in an ankle. Like, metal. Like, God, come on. Like, come on. That is, like, awesome. That's greater than what Jesus did. I mean, I don't think, like, there would have been any metal in anyone's ankles back then. I'm sure they had surgery and all that kind of stuff, but I don't imagine them putting metal in people's ankles. My faith just goes, like, from here to, like, up there. And, like, there is just such a heavy presence in the room. Heavy presence. And you could feel God was there. Like, it was tangible. It was almost kind of like misty. It was thick. He was there. His presence was there. I was like, heck, let's go after multiple sclerosis. Let's go for it. And we start praying. So she hadn't, just to give you guys the information, she had been numb in her left hand for over 15 years. She hadn't been able to close her fist for 15 years. Her left arm was completely numb. You could pinch her skin and she wouldn't know it was there. She had burns up her arm because, like, she had no feeling at all. So, like, she would get cuts and burns and things and she wouldn't know it was there because she had no feeling. She had no feeling down her left leg. She was able to use it, but hadn't had feeling in her left leg for over 8 years. And I was like, man, like, God's going to show up here. So we start praying for her. And after a couple of minutes, she's like, man, this is weird. Like, I can't explain this to you guys, but, like, I'm getting pins and needles in my arm. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, she's like, I haven't felt pins and needles for over 15 years. So we're like, yes, like, God is moving. God is moving. Like, this is a miracle happening before our very eyes. And she just, like, over the next, like, 5 minutes, she's just like, man, I've got pins and needles right there. Like, I can feel cold, like, wind on my leg right there. Like, I can feel, like, heat right there. Like, I can feel my hand on my leg. And we're just, like, we're just beginning. Like, I'm just singing. Like, we're just worshiping because, like, she's legitimately gaining feeling up and down her whole left side for over 8 years in her leg, 15 years in her arm. And she's experiencing the power of God. And it is bringing back complete restoration to her arm. She walks out of the room completely 100% healed, having feeling all up and down her arm, able to clench a fist, open a fist, grab things with her hand. And I was like, man, God, like, come on. Come on. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And I learned something that day about the Lord that like has been super profound in my life ever since. That day I learned the ways of God. Much like Moses did in Exodus chapter 33. If you want to turn there, I just want to read a couple of scriptures. We're going to start in verse 13. One thing I love about Moses, and one thing I love about David and some of these Old Testament like heroes of the faith, they were able to pull on a grace and the Spirit of the Lord from a time where it wasn't their time. You see, Moses lived under the Old Covenant, yet somehow he experienced the grace and the favor of God. I don't know how, but I believe that Moses' faith and Moses' persistence in seeking the Lord and seeking his face allowed him to experience a grace that was outside of his time. I believe he pulled a grace and a favor from heaven down into his time that was before the cross. And here in this story, I'm going to read here from verse 13. It says, "Now therefore," this is Moses speaking to the Lord. They've just moved the tabernacle outside of the camp. Moses is seeking guidance from the Lord in the area of like where the Israelites should go from here. The Lord is about to tell them to enter the land of Canaan, and he's about to tell them what they're going to do and how they're going to conquer the land and claim it back as their own for the land of Israel. And it says here, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, that you show me your ways, that I may know you and that I may find your grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people." What I find really interesting here, and this is something that I only discovered this morning as I was just finishing up, preparing for today, was that the same grace and the same favor that Moses is asking and petitioning the Lord for is the very same favor and the very same grace. It comes back to that same root word that was spoken in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This one's in Aramaic, but this one's in Greek, but the root word of it, the definition is the same. It is that when Moses is asking the Lord for his grace and his favor, it's the same as what the Holy Spirit was saying to us that we can find that we were to be given or win God's favor. So here we have Moses, a person who has not experienced salvation, and he's found the very same thing that is available for us. And this is what the Lord says to him. And he said, "My presence or my grace or my favor will go with you and I will give you rest." Moses then replies to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except that you go with us? For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except that you go with us?" I think that is such a key, for us in the area of miracles and healing and faith. This very same thing here. I think this is our measuring stick. I think this is where it all starts. "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace / favor in your sight except that you go with us?" You see, for so long, for me, I would separate the gospel from healings, and I would chase after healings and not believe that I was chasing after God. And that was a really weird misconception that I kind of had. And I had it all twisted up because I was like, I got to go after healings. I got to go after miracles. I got to see it happen. And the whole time I was missing the point. You see, because I was wanting to operate out of gift. I was wanting to operate at the level that I was at. And it wasn't working. You see, in first year, before going to Haiti, there was a period of time I was in the healing rooms and I prayed for a lot of people. Like, honestly, I didn't see a complete healing, like 100% healing, until a month before I left for Haiti. That week was where it all changed for me, because it went from me like pursuing it out of my own desire and out of my own strength to realizing that God has wanted to pursue it so much more. And all I had to do was turn to him and jump on what he was doing rather than go my own way and pursue it. "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace or favor in your sight except that you go with us?" That's a key right there. That's a key right there. I believe that the gifts and that the gift of healings, the gift of miracles, the gift of faith is only present when we go with him. It is only present when our attention and our desires are for him first rather than for the signs and wonders first. I believe that's when we will see a greater level of anointing, a greater level of power flowing through our lives, when it's all about him first. And out of that relationship, out of that upwards relationship, then comes the power of God, because it's him working through us, not us trying to work him. It goes on to say here in verse 18, Moses asking the Lord, please show me your glory. You see, because Moses got it. He didn't want to go out of his own strength. He didn't want to lead the people of Israel out of his own strength. He just wanted God. He just wanted face-to-face intimacy with God. And the Lord replies to Moses. He said to him, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That's the Lord going with Moses. And that's what the Lord wants to do with us. Because his promise to us is that he has given us, it says in John 16, his promise to us is that he has given us his spirit, which is going to reveal all truth to us and reveal all the things to come. He has given us his spirit, which wants to give us gifts of faith, gifts of healing, gifts of words of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gifts of interpretation of tongues. It's all there. It's all there accessible to us. But our one desire has to be this. It has to be this. We have to be so solid in our desire to seek the face of the Lord and know that the rest will come. Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It comes through the secret place. It comes through time in prayer and fasting. It comes through time in community, spending time with one another, growing, going after God, iron sharpening iron. It comes at the times when we're in the closet and we're praying and crying out for a move of God when no one else sees it. That's where it comes. You know, Jesus spent 30 years doing nothing. And granted, he probably wasn't doing nothing. He probably applied his father's trade, probably became a carpenter. He would have spent time learning. He would have spent time doing a lot of things. But he spent 30 years before 3 years of ministry. And that 3 years of ministry, you saw it, we read about an incredible, something that's never been seen on this earth. And granted, he is the Son of God, but his promise to us was that we will do greater than what he will do. I propose today that we won't see the fulfillment of that promise until we spend our time in the 30 years, until we spend that time going after the Father's heart. Jesus says in John 5, verse 19, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but he can only do what he sees his Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does in his manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he does himself, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. That's why I'm so impressed with the younger people of this church at the moment, because I see you guys chasing after the heart of the Father in such an incredible way, in such an incredible way. And you guys are going to see such an incredible outpouring and so many miracles and so many signs and wonders, but because you're seeking his heart first. And I believe that's what it's all about. That's what it is all about. Because healings and miracles are incredible. They're amazing. They're experiences that will change people's lives. But the one experience that we should seek after is intimacy and the knowledge and the following the ways of what the Father does. Because that's what Jesus modeled. That's what Jesus modeled. Because I believe that one day we will walk in a time where everyone that we pray for is healed 100% of the time. I fully believe that there is a time of that coming. But I am also well aware that the way to get there isn't pursuing the miracles. The way to get there is pursuing the Father. And that's the encouragement that I want to make to you this morning. The one thing that I want you to take away is that it's about him. It's about who he is. It's about his goodness. It's about his mercy. It's about his grace. It's about his favor. It's about his heart. And out of all that, you will see his goodness pass before you in our life. I am so expectant for the day where we're sitting here in church, or when we're having a prayer meeting or having a home group, and we're so hungry after the Lord's heart that he's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. You can't see my face, but you can see my back, and I will do it for you. And I believe we're heading in that direction. And that's the direction that we should be heading. We have to live with a conviction. We have to live with a conviction that God wants every person healed and saved. That is a must. That is something that, like, I try to walk out. I really do. I try to walk that out. It doesn't always happen, and it doesn't always work out the way I want it to. Yeah, even this last week, it was Sunday night last week, went to the grocery store, went to Woolies, was going to get some orange juice and something for dinner. I don't know what it was. I can't remember where I was going. All I know is that I had to go out again and get it, and I was super annoyed because I was like, man, we just came back from shopping. I want to cook dinner. I want to be at home. I want to be wearing a pair of footy shorts and a hoodie, but now I have to get dressed again and go out to the shops. And I was annoyed because I was like, man, like, this is such an inconvenience. Because, like, State of Origin was starting at 7 o'clock. It was 6:30. And I was like, man, I need to get home soon. So I storm into the shops, get the stuff. There's no plastic bags. I didn't even know that. So there's another, like, inconvenience. Woe to me. I was so annoyed because I was like, man, now I've got to carry milk. I've got to carry orange juice. I've got to carry apples. And I've got to carry, I don't know, carrots. Carrots. Yeah, it was carrots. Flipping carrots, eh? And so I'm just like, man, woe to me. No plastic bags. Grab all the stuff because I don't want to spend 99 cents on a reusable bag. And anyways, I'm walking out and I see this man walking in, young dude, about my age. He's got a crutch. He's limping. And in a split second, I was like, oh, I should pray for him. And I was like, no, I'm not in the mood to pray. And I just kept walking. Oh, tell you what, got to the car. Just sat there and I was like, oh my goodness, God, would you just take this, whatever, this junk, just remove it from my heart? How could I not be compelled to pray for a man who needed healing? How could I not be compelled to pray for a man who needed to experience the grace and the compassion of the Lord? How could I be so consumed about the fact that I didn't have a plastic bag to carry out my groceries that I didn't stop for someone to pray for him? And it was just this sweet moment with the Lord where I, just to a deeper level, I let the desire and the conviction that God wants every person saved and healed. It just went to a deeper place in my heart. And it wasn't like super lovey-dovey and comfortable. It really wasn't, because I found myself sitting in the car being corrected by the Lord. But it's something that we have to go after. And it comes out of that place of intimacy. Because if I wasn't close to the Lord, then I could have been completely oblivious to his leading and guiding, and then completely oblivious to his correction in that moment. And then I may walk past another person the next time that I'm in a huff and a puff and not pray for them again. But now I believe I won't, because I've got that root, that solidarity of intimacy. That's not a word. Solidarity, is that a word? It was? Oh, good. Yeah, I do. I've more faith in God though, which is good. I just encourage you guys this morning that his desire is for heaven on earth. It's what he wants. His desire is for our best. And all we need to do is say yes. All we need to do is say yes. Yes to intimacy. Yes to relationship. Yes to closeness. Yes to following his ways. Yes to whatever it is. Yes to obedience. And you don't know, like, the power of that yes will have in 20 years' time. We do not know the size or the weight that our yes to the Father carries. And I'm glad we don't. But we don't. I just encourage you this morning that his desire is for our best. 100% for our best. He wants to be close. He wants people to get healed. That is his desire. But will you say yes? Will you say yes?